It is 20 to 11. It is the 26th, Friday the 26th of April. It is Noel King's first game at Oriel Park. The atmosphere, the entertainment on show, the wearing of the jersey, the playing for the crest, the pride in the kit, the pride in the club. And never mind Castleton Bells at half time's entertainment. We're talking about Dundalk Football Club. Christopher's going to join us straight from live from the M1 coming from Bray. Chris, we sat here last week and we said on a number of occasions tonight that, you know, we handled Ronan Wall, as you said, you know, the breaking news last week that we sat here around this time last week and breaking news came in and we were pessimistic to say the least. Now, albeit it's only one set of 90 minutes, but, you know, as we put out on the Twitter tonight, you know, the King effect, and obviously it's delighted the two boys are still with him on the sideline as well, but it's, they've really hit the ground running here, haven't they? I mean, I know well, you know, we're under the caution over the next couple of weeks, we can't just write it all down to one game, but that was the game we've been waiting for a long, long time.
I think we talked about it just off air there now. I think for Burnsy and Garth, that victory is for them. We've seen a marked improvement over the last four games under the tutelage of the two lads. So for those two, more than anyone, I'm delighted, tell the truth. Last week, we were breaking news. We were unsure whether this was happening or not. We kind of got more and more confirmed as the further home I got. And our heads were spinning. You know, we didn't know what way this was going to have an effect on the club. And to be fair to Noel King, in all his interviews and his pre-match interview tonight, he said, let the football do the talking. It's not up to him whether it's here. The fans will let him know quick enough. But if you want to win over the fans, Gally, roll in there, a 2-0 victory at home, another clean sheet, two goals finally scored at home. You know, goals scored at home, ticked, another clean sheet, ticked, home win, ticked, first win of the season, ticked.
Screamers of goals to boot. Yeah, two screamers of goals, yeah.
Yeah, he's got a series of monkeys off his back day one.
Yeah.
And I suppose if you ever want to have a big impact on day one in your job, it's have a positive impact like that. So, you know, from that point of view, I don't think Noel King could have done anything better than how he done tonight.
We're going to big us up as much as we can. I don't even think there's a Bose or poor. I know some people that are Bose. I don't think we let them play. I think the tempo, I think Sean had mentioned it there, Sean Newbury, urgency, tempo. It was from the start, you know, and we've had more chances to score more than one. Bose were kept at bay for pretty much 90% of the game. Not really any. I know, look, we can talk about the penalty later on, but it was it's not so much, and I keep saying it wasn't so much obviously the defeats were sitting on boys, but.
Yeah,
a performance, urgency, tempo, like Sean said, you know, just creating chances, the urge to get there, the want for the ball. It just seemed to be a little bit, and I'm saying it hasn't happened. It's not that it hasn't happened in games, but tonight it was just relentless from minute one to minute 90. It was just relentless, and that's all we've been looking for over the last couple of months, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and also goals breed confidence. You know, you can see as soon as we scored the first, a kind of weight got lifted off the players' shoulders and they played with a lot more freedom tonight.
Yeah.
And that, like you say, that's what we've been wanting to see. We wanted to see them play with the ability that they have.
Yeah.
And I think tonight was probably the first time we've really seen that. Me and Steph talked about it in the it was 11 days ago or something, we played up in Dalymount.
Yeah.
And bar that, you know, Akintunde's header, they weren't a million miles better than us.
And no, no.
We just lacked a little bit of spark up front. But wow, did we get some sparks tonight. Scott High is, you know, he's not going to hit anything much sweeter than he's hit tonight. He's a player we've talked about having ability, playing at a good high level. You know, we're talking championship level. And we were expecting a lot more from him. I think tonight was one of the first times we've really seen the height that he can get to, if you pardon the pun. But, yeah, you know, he, like, we've wanted to see that in that player. We've been calling for individuals and players to step up,
yeah,
and really make their impact. And I think you've probably seen that with Darragh Keane over the past, what, two fixtures, where he's come on in a substitute appearance and played really well. Really good when he came on in Daly Mount, really good when he came on over in the Showgrounds. Gets a start tonight, another solid performance by him again. And I think that probably frees up a little bit for Scott High and Robbie Benson to push on a little bit. And wow, did they make it pay. I mean, Gally, you were there for the two finishes tonight in person. What were they like in person?
Oh, I mean, like, and like you mentioned, rightly mentioned, Scott High has that in his locker room. We've seen it. It reminds you kind of, you know, like Aoc back, the likes of Conor O'Malley last year, who would have been something similar in his locker, but obviously didn't get that chance to show it. But it was just absolute, like, it was pandemonium. You think it was a cup final. Like, you know, I don't mean to sound over the top, but I mean, you know, it was that kind of atmosphere. I know Oriel Park was tight. And I don't know what I didn't get the attendance. There was plenty of seats not in it. I don't know, look, it could have been a bad night.
2,700.
Yeah, so even at that, it's probably low on numbers what you'd want for, you know, a new manager's first game. But look, these things happen. But the atmosphere was electric. And the real thing that I took from it was that there was no annoyance from people. So when a ball broke down, there was no annoyance because you were expecting to get another chance. Whereas in the last couple of weeks, if a ball broke down, we might have only had two chances of the game to score, and we were not taking any of them. So, but in this game tonight, there wasn't too much disappointed if a pass went amiss, and there wasn't many, in fairness. But because the fans, there just seems this kind of air of belief in it that no, this game won't be in doubt. You know, even with the penalty, there was just something about the penalty. It was just, you didn't fancy him to score. There was just something in the air. I you know. We were up at the Bells tonight with the wee ones with us, and you know, I thought it'd almost distract me from watching the game, but it didn't, because everybody was engaged in it so much. There was just kind of a different air of everything tonight, and you know, you can talk about individuals like Davy English has mentioned there. Darren Hogan had his best game I've seen him in. Now, yeah, I know, like, he's been with us now. We're talking last July, is it? Is it last July? Without a doubt, his best performance since he's returned. Now, he's had some decent play. He's had some decent spells, but that's as good as he's been in a long time. He was absolutely fantastic tonight. You know, Mountney, Benson, boys have mentioned a lot of it. I don't think, like, even the first comment that came in tonight from Tin Tomatoes, nobody put a foot wrong. Everybody mad at the match tonight. And that's what we've been crying out for. That's, you know, we've just been looking for that little bit. Anybody that's come on, Darragh Keane's been unlucky as well. Got a bit of an injury, but again, excellent. Nobody's come on come off the bench and you're thinking, oh, I don't know about this. I don't. It just seems to be one of those nights that, you know, this is what we were looking for. It's that kind of, I know you get the new manager surge, I get that. But I really think now, you know, especially when you've got Shells next, I think it's next. Yeah, this Shells were next.
Shells next Friday, yeah.
That's a real, you know, Noel King will be looking for that. You know, he's come from Shells, albeit the ladies team, but he's come from a long history there. You know, everybody's like, yeah, Jamie Gullen. Frank's mentioned Jamie Gullen. You forget, like, you know, he's been missing for a couple of weeks. You know, like, I mean, not from the pitch. He's just been missing. Like, you know, getting about. But just to a man, everybody was fantastic. George Shelby as well. His confidence. Somebody mentioned his confidence. They'll do him no harm. It was just a perfect night. Now, I'm not saying Noel King's going to work wonders here, but I do think the combination of obviously Gareth and Bonesy are more on the sideline tonight than Noel King was out in the box for the coaches. But I think there could be a blend there. I don't know. I'm not saying my opinion's changed much from last week. But look, it's whatever gets results now. I mean, if that's what we're going to be expecting every game, bring it on. Absolutely bring it on. I thought they were fantastic, every one of them.
Yeah, look, and I think that's all, like you just said, we that's all we've been asking for is that level of commitment. And we felt that, you know, there was a changing of the tide nearly. I think the lads' first match, the Pats match at home, I think we kind of held in there.
Yeah.
But we showed that we can be solid at the back. We got a clean sheet. Keeper had to pull off some great saves that night.
Yeah.
Then we had the Bows match, and we kind of, I think we got undone by just a lack of concentration for one moment, and that cost us the game. And once we went behind, we started to show a little bit of something, that there was something there. in us that we could get back in it. We just showed it a little too late in the game, but you could see, you know, okay, there's something there. That's enough to say we can try harder. We go to Sligo, we go behind, but like we discussed this last week, the heads didn't drop when we went behind, and we fought our way to get back into that match.
Yeah.
Scored the penalty, and Gullen, obviously, you know, getting something out of that and getting more touches. And every game, he seems to get more and more involved, including tonight. So tonight, I think that was, it was coming. It was coming tonight. I think our performances were getting better and better. That you just knew a win was going to come. So I'm just delighted. I'm delighted for everyone that was there. You know, images at the end, Shelby grabbing the flag in front
I just put that. That's just on our socials there. The minute. It's just one of those videos you might look back on that might start a little bit of a documentary at the end of the season. Yeah, it's cracking.
Yeah, like if you want to win over everyone, you know, if you think of Shelby, you know, and the silence in Oriel Park during the 5-0 defeat and the mistakes he made, how low he felt, to fight his way back into the seat and to, you know, to keep another clean sheet, save a penalty, and have the opportunity then to go in front of the fans and be like that. Like, you know, fair play to him is what I will say to that. But yeah, look, to a man, I think everybody deserved that performance. It was coming. It was unfortunate. Drogheda picked up 3 points tonight, but you would say probably Sligo and Waterford are now going to start looking over the shoulder at both Drogheda and Dundalk. And that might just, like, we talked about this. Look, the most important thing is that we get a win. And that win had to come soon, because if we hadn't have won tonight and Drogheda won, like, that gap was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So the gap to ourselves and Drogheda, that hasn't decreased. But what we've done now is we've gained 3 points on both Waterford and Sligo Rovers tonight. So bring more into this, is what I say. And let's start hunting them down. Obviously, we've got the Loud Derby on the Bank Holiday Monday in just over a week's time now as well. So like that weekend could turn out to be pivotal. I think you're looking to see if you could even pick up a point or something against Shell. But performance, like, but they haven't been great of late. But a draw against them wouldn't be the world's worst result, as long as you can back that up with something like 3 points in Weavers Park 2 days later. I think that's what you got to look for now.
I'm just watching the comments coming in. It's going to be like people had mentioned here, like David Sally had said, it's going to be hard to win a pizza night. It's going to be very difficult to give away a pizza night, because the amount of comments that have come in for different players, and this is what I was saying, there's nobody really that you could, like, Mark Carroll makes a great point that something I didn't even, you know, it's only when you realize back, but there's only two subs made, and one of them's with injury, Dara Keane. Is that something, like, we talked here last week?
Dara Keane.
Like I said it before, I think I said, I don't know what game it was, sometimes you don't have to make five subs. You know, you don't have to use your quota. You know, we got to that stage, we were putting on subs for the sake of putting on subs, but now there seems to be a more bit of a, you know, as Noel King would have, I was saying during the week in one of his interviews, like, he's there kind of overseeing everything, but the two boys, Garth and Barnes, are kind of not doing all the work, but they're doing the coaching bit, they're kind of motivating the lads. And, you know, is that something, like, you know, I wonder on the bench tonight, did they think, right, well, there's no real need to make a sub here. You know, let's not make a sub for the sake of making a sub. Let's just keep them. Let's, you know, Darragh King's obviously a forced injury. Owen Kenny comes on late in the game. I think that's could be his first. Is that his first league game?
Yeah, because he came on against Bulls for his league debut.
Yeah,
and he also got a substitute appearance over in the Showground. So this was his home debut as well.
A good thing from that is that they're thinking of, right, well, let's not just make subs for the sake of, let's keep the structure, let's keep it right. You know, two subs in a League of Ireland game is almost unheard of. But, you know, you get the feeling that a lot of things have changed in the last week. There's a lot of kind of, you know, let's use a bit of common sense. Let's let these lads play. Let's, you know, you're Robbie Benson tonight. Robbie Benson was just, like you had said, Robbie Benson of old, just let the fly, just let, you know, freedom on the pitch. It was like his range of passing tonight. And I sat down at the town end tonight because we the football girls with us. I wasn't up in the stand. But to see him up close, that, you know, on the at eye level, he's a frighteningly good footballer. I always said it, in full flight, there's not many better. His range of passing is frightening. And you know, we need players like that, himself, Hogan, Scott High, you know, but definitely himself, Hogan, have come into the fray now in the 90 minutes tonight. They've probably had their best game for us in a long, long time. And, you know, that's what obviously has gone over the last week. They're just maybe giving him this bit of freedom. And maybe, I know somebody had said about, you know, Stephen, maybe they're, you know, scared kind of go a wee bit against the grain with whatever tactics they had. But tonight they just seemed to be sent out and said, right, lads, go out and do what you're supposed to do. And that's the kind of buzz that they've been given, and you know, that you could, it fed to the fans. The place was rocking, absolutely rocking. Like, you know, I'd say the chip shops and the sweet shops were an absolute packet tonight. You know, the place was absolutely rocking, and that's what we've been missing over the last couple of weeks, isn't it?
Yeah, look, I think over the past few games, we've mentioned Robbie Benson. We said Robbie Benson is an absolute Rolls Royce of a player, and when he is just taking over, there's not many in this league that are of that level. Like you say, his range of passing, the goal tonight, you know, that's just peak Robbie Benson. Since Darts and Burnsy have taken over, I definitely feel there's a lot more freedom in Robbie Benson's play. It's like he's been told he can go back to playing. Whether Stephen O'Donnell had asked him to do a different task on the pitch, or to play a different way, or just not to be as free as he seems to be over the past while, I'm not too sure. But I know you're saying it could be hard to pick a man in a match, but I feel Robbie may just edge this one tonight, as I feel it was just another vintage performance from him. On your substitutes, I think it might have been the Galway match when we were two down and we, you know, made a three substitutes, you know, one of those three substitutes in a row moments. And it didn't even change anything. It was just like for like substitutes all over the pitch, and it didn't change how we played, the formation we were playing. And I think that was the night you said, sometimes you don't have to make the changes, you know, unless they're going to have an impact on how you play. But that had no impact at all. So yeah, maybe to just have one of them four tonight might just put something into some players' heads that I'm not going to be guaranteed 20 minutes of a run out tonight, even if I'm on the bench. I got to earn my place back on it. And here's the interesting thing, because when Stephen O'Donnell left that Monday, and we were like, oh God, what's going to happen here? And the news broke that there was a meeting and you know, they've decided to part company with Stephen O'Donnell. We were like, well, that's a short week up to the Pats match that night. And then it was a quick turnaround because you had the Bulls match then after. And then you had, on the Friday, you had the Sligo match then as well. So this is the first full week that these coaches have also had. So to see that mark improvement, to go and get the win, we probably shouldn't be surprised, because this is the first time they've got to work with them. Like, set pieces seem to be, you know, and our crossings seem to be a lot better tonight. We seem to be able to hit the ball into a couple of danger areas, and our link-up play, you know, like we question whether Mounts and RP Davies can play on that same right-hand side, but like you see Mounts getting involved maybe it's something to be able to work on the training pitch all week long for a change. And now we're going to have that again on the lead up to the Shells match. We're going to be able to work on this for another week again. So let's see if we get another marked improvement from players. And hopefully this is just
And I like even when you see it tonight, like, you know, obviously off the pitch as well with fans, like social media, like I think it's the first night I'm looking at our social media, it's pinging on our phone. We're not usually a podcast of shout outs. The amount of people looking for a shout out on a podcast, like, I've no idea looking for a shout out for Neil Adair. I know Neil Adair's head's torch going between the Irish League and the electricity going up and down the two games each weekend. Heads tortured, imagine we'll compare them a couple of games. But people, you know, it's kind of, you know, feel good factor football. I know it's only one game, you know. I know John Flanagan raised a serious problem, that a serious issue, that the fact that you're at the Bray match and, you know, the dog of one.
Not by choice.
It's, you know, it's down in sunny Bray for the day, and we picked up a couple of points.
But I was just down getting some ice cream.
But like Flano had mentioned here as well, this is what we're talking about. It's like a no nods from the back. It was the freedom, and, you know, go and express yourselves, go and play. And I probably made that sound like it was just Noel King, you know, coming in. It wasn't. The boys have had this for the last couple of weeks, and like you rightly said, it's for the two boys on the sideline have worked. You know, I know they were under Stevie as well, and I don't know if there was constraints there or your hands were tied on what way to do it, but that obviously way wasn't working. So, you know, let's go for it. Let's try and get something now. Let's try and do something a little bit different. And, you know, a perfect night for everything. Now, look, it could have come a couple of games later. Who knows? But, you know, now let's try and kick on from that. Shelburne at home next week. You know, like, that's massive again. You know, like, you know, when you consider what Shelburne have done tonight and where they are and who the manager is, and let's get them to Oriel Park and give them, you know, give them a proper wake-up call. Look, we don't know how the game will go, but let's get them a proper rattling, because I think that kind of combination of the two boys, Noel King, Damien Duff, all, you know, Joey, all those fiery characters, you know, that, especially after tonight's result, you know, Shell's beyond one now. They'll be living off that result now all season. But, you know, they're rightly up there at the top of the league. Let's go down and try to take them off a little bit. And, you know, tonight's game shows that when we're allowed to, not we're allowed to do, but, you know, lads have mentioned John Mountney. John Mountney tonight was going forward. It was like a vintage John Mountney, a vintage Robbie Benson, a vintage Darren Hogan. You know, that's what we've been looking for. You know, that's what we've been looking for all this last couple of weeks.
Dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's vintage. It was
vintage that's it, dog. Isn't it?
And look, this is the thing. Like, I think this has all been building. We've been knocking on the door getting this win. Now we finally got the win. And that's probably the best result to have coming into the Shells, because the talk is now not going to be, when is Dundalk going to get a win? When are we going to get a home goal? It has to be about kicking on now. And like you say, Shell's coming to town. We can't be apprehensive about this. We're undefeated in our last four home. Am I right?
Yeah.
Four home games, or is that three home games? So like, we're starting to make, you know, Oriel Park, that's four. Sure, I'm thinking, the draw, the match, and everything else. Like, we're not as porous as we were at the start of the year.
Yeah.
And now we've gone and showed that we can score some goals. So Damien Duff will be approaching this in a different light now as well. That if we leave space for players like Darrell Horgan, for players like Robbie Benson, you know, the cleverness of John Mountney, we can now punish them. It's not about just keep getting it done, dog, because eventually, this was our conversation at the start of the year, was teams just seem to be waiting for their chances because they know we're going to keep giving them opportunities, and all you got to do is take one. Like, look at the limited opportunities that Bohemians had tonight.
Yeah.
Look at the limited opportunities, you know, that other teams have had now coming to Oriel Park. Like, we are starting to be a hard team to beat. Like, take away the first 20 minutes in Sligo. What else did Sligo really do? Not that much. Mm. You know, Bray had maybe 2-3 chances when the substitutes come on for them, but they just took one. And then we had a chance to get back into it maybe if we just had to pull the trigger like we did tonight. But I think that's just going to be a real confident booster for us. It's going to be a good training week for the lads this week. You know, everyone's going to be bouncing now. This week coming into Oriel, and I just feel that's the right tonic to be going into that match. You know, although Shelburne will be high as well, but we're not. We're going into that with a little more freedom, I feel now. It's not, shit, when are we going to get this win? You know, God, we got to get a goal here. If we don't, the crowd's going to be on our back. You look at you listen to the crowd tonight, you look at the scenes of the players getting involved, like we said, with Shelby there tonight. It's the perfect tonic going into that, into the double header. These double headers just seem to be coming thick and fast, don't they?
We want them, don't we? Though, even when we were
winning, you do. Even
in a strange way, when we were dropping points, we really wanted them out again to try and scrape them points back. You know, even though like we were expecting, look, we're probably going to get another beating here, but we still wanted games, the quicker the better, because we just wanted to get rid of the memory of the last game. So you know, I think it's definitely now, as you know, as we get a bit of positivity and we get a bit of get the 3 points on the board, and we got clean sheet, two goals at Oriel Park, two screamers at Oriel Park. You know, you're really looking forward to, you know, a cycle of games there, especially when it's Shelburne. And I just think there's a difference, you know, albeit, look, it's one game, look, and we have to, obviously, we went back to last week's podcast, and it'll haunt me, that the breaking news breaking in the middle of a podcast, it'll haunt me. It's something we've never done before, but, you know, I think there's a bit of, you know, I don't know what the term is, or, you know, but maybe we don't have to backtrack, but I think there's definitely, you know, there's a nice aura about the place now, and there's a buzz, and there's a, you know, it was a different crowd tonight. I keep going on about the crowd, but, you know, I said it earlier on, but, you know, there was no kind of, you can do better than that, or, you know, cut that out. There was none of that tonight. It was just, don't worry, we'll get it. And it's fine. You know, they were playing well. You know, it was just, there's just a different buzz about the place.
Yeah. Like, as I said, and I think the fact that we're just not coughing up these easy chances against us, that's part of that. The people were worried when we weren't playing well, when we were having catastrophic keeper errors and stuff like that. We just looked like an easy target. I don't think we are an easy target anymore. And even that is all we were looking for. You know, now I'm looking for us to kick on even more than that. But, you know, all I'm thinking now is Anna Reynolds coming in at Bowes at this time, where they had, you know, a doubleheader coming at a weekend. They got their first win, then they got another win before our game then on the Monday. And suddenly they had 9 points out of three games in a week. And it turned their whole season around. Suddenly they were third in the league and everything was rosy. So it just goes to show how important this weekend could be coming for us, because I think that has to be a minimum of 4 points there for us to really kick on and close that gap to the teams above us. And if we do that, I think we could come out of the bank holiday weekend and a whole bottom end of this league could be only talking a handful of points between four teams.
Yeah.
And what a difference that could make.
That's what we had said this earlier on in the league. The league's that tight now. Well, I mean, there was danger we'd get cut adrift, but it is that tight, you know, like, or that bottom probably kind of four, five, six teams. If we can go in a bit of a run, you know, you'd kind of like to think that you'll beat them. You know, I think somebody commented on it, the likes of Drogheda, Sligo, Rovers, Waterford. You'd like to think on a team of momentum like ourselves, on that bounce, like you say, we'll pick up points against them. And that's kind of where we're living now. That's your bread and butter now for the next couple of months. You just got to concentrate on everybody. And obviously you got to concentrate on your own games, but that's where you're keeping your eye now.
Yeah. And I think to be fair to Noel King and all his press conferences this week, he's just said it's one game at a time. It's, you know, it's that cliche in football, but I don't think he'll be looking at that Drogheda match at all. I think it'll be concentrate, and I mean this as in the management team, as in all three of the lads, really. Yeah. I think their focus will be just on the Shelburne match and getting something out of that match. And I think if we get something out of that, that's the springboard now to go on and try to pick up the maximum points then against Drogheda, maybe. But that's not going to be an easy game. Like, we've seen all the games we had in Weavers Park last year, you know, they were tight. But I'd love to just see if we can carry a bit of momentum into that.
Yeah.
That's what you want, you know, going into it. And what you want is, all we can ask is for us to keep picking up points, and, you know, the teams above us will start looking over the shoulders. And you just need to drag a few teams back in on this, and it might just be enough of a springboard for us. But I'm just absolutely delighted to get that win, to knock all that stupid talk on the head. I'm delighted for Noel King in a way.
I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, regardless of what opinion you have of somebody who's gone in, regardless of, you know, he's not for me, he's not, and like, to be honest, he isn't for me, you know, when I said this last week, but at the end of the day, you have to back, you've got to back him when he's in the dugout, you've got to back him when, you know, if he's getting results, or he's having an influence on the results happening, regardless if it's Garth or Burnsy, he's been put in there, and, you know, you got to back him to the hilt, whatever he wants to do. He's got an 18-month contract minimum, you know, like, well, a maximum. Yeah. He's probably a maximum in his case. He probably don't want to get longer than that. But, you know, he's in there now, and you just got to back it, regardless of who it is.
Yeah, look, I think if you took a poll last Friday night stroke Saturday morning, it would be predominantly negative about the appointment. And that's because it came out of the blue. And I suppose we were kind of caught off guard, so we haven't really talked about it, so we'll talk about it now.
Yeah.
I think
we'll just before you start, Chris, we'll bring in just bring him on the sly in here. We'll bring in an expert. Okay. We're going to bring in our regular Niall Newbury. Niall, we're just on. Welcome to the show. We're just obviously just in Oriel Park. We're just on the subject of obviously Noel King, the big talking point of the week, and we haven't really talked about it yet. So Chris is just kind of getting into it from the M1 there, wherever he is.
Lads, I'm just past Junction 16. I'm flying.
Yeah,
boy,
yeah. So you're nearly there.
Yeah, look, I think as I say, if you'd done a poll last Friday night stroke Saturday morning, it would have been 90% negative for the appointment of Noel King. And I think what a lot of the gripe with the fans were was there was a process. We had a press release stating of, you know, when that deadline was going to be, and the numerous candidates, the 70 candidates they talked about that was going to be in it. So for a decision to be made on Saturday morning to throw that whole process out, I think that's what probably caught most Dundalk fans off guard. Then I suppose it's a candidate that's been out of senior men's football for so long also.
Yeah.
That's a bolt out of the blue. Now we know he's got the ties to Brian Ainscough, so this was a real swing and a hit from Brian Ainscough, and this was on his own. That he's gone and from Noel's point of view, he seemed to go in with a good attitude. He hasn't deflected the fact that it's Burnsy and Garth put in all the work for this result tonight, you know, to get to this result tonight. And, you know, he's mostly been an observer, I think he said, this week in training. So, you know, I'm delighted that this is gone. And I'm delighted for Brian Hinscop as well, because if this goes wrong, it all turns sour for him. And we've seen how quickly that can go. With the end of peak six era in Oriel Park and how toxic everything got. So, you know, wins breed confidence in every direction. And I'm just delighted for this team there to get that win. But yeah, it was an out of the blue appointment that no one saw coming. No one saw coming. So to get the win, yeah, that's going to give them a bit of street cred now with the fans.
Yeah, Niall, just before, obviously we get into the game and you're obviously there tonight, but just from a kind of a journalistic point of view, and, you know, it was probably, I don't know if it was a dream write-up that you got last week or a dream kind of, you know, let's dig into this more, or if it's a massive headache for someone like yourself in the profession that you have. But, you know, when the breaking news came in last week, like, it's one of those moments, where were you when you heard the news that Noel King was going to be the new Dundalk manager?
To be honest, we were in the showgrounds last week, and you know what, we were speaking to Brian Gartland, and I'd actually asked Brian the question about, you know, in relation to Peter Halpin's, you know, letter to supporters, which outlined the process that, you know, applications were going to be taken by the club up until the 24th, which was just Wednesday just gone. And I'd asked Brian, Brian Gartland, you know, if he was confident that, you know, a new manager would be in place maybe after, maybe this week, so maybe the you know, Shells game next week. Brian's answer was, you know, he couldn't give a definitive answer to that. He said he doesn't know if it's going to be a day, 2 days, a week, 2 weeks, if there's going to be a manager in place. I think not even 10 minutes after that conversation had ended with Brian Gartland, we were in the car on the way back home from Sligo, and my phone started hopping to the point where it nearly exploded. And, you know,
we should have got you on live from the road there. We should have got you on.
It might have been possible, Gally, to be fair. Like, you know, I think the phone was just about... Was about to blow up at that point, but it would have been fun for sure with Jerry Malone, no doubt. I think poor Jerry had to pull over at one stage, you know. So, like, but look, Camille, I mean, it was nobody. I don't think anybody saw it coming, and I think it's fair to say Peter Halpin and Brian Gartland probably didn't see it coming either. Look, it's one of those things. I think Noel King, you know, it's not a name who's really been mentioned, but I suppose I think you said it yourself in the podcast last week, Gally. I did watch it back that, like, you know, we don't really need, like, I mean, it's not a case of, it's not really a case of sort of trying to get the next win or whatever. It's a case of, or like steadying the ship. You know, like, we're in survival mode at this stage. And I think that's where, that's where the club is. And when you're looking at potential candidates for the manager position, you've got to factor in what we actually need as a club right now. Bottom line is Dundalk SC are 10th in the table, still are, even after today's win. We're still bottom of the league. Like, as you said, we're beyond the point of steadying the ship. We need to get ourselves out of trouble. And, you know, you can talk about managers like Stephen Kenny being linked and people like that, managers who are used to being at the top end of the table. But is that really going to work for us? You know, you look at Liam Buckley coming into Cork last season, you know, a manager who's not used to, you know, maybe relegation scraps. For what we need right now, we probably needed an experienced head, you know, an experienced manager to kind of stop the gap, I suppose. Like, I think it's, you know, the reports, obviously, or the man said it himself. I think it's, by all intents and purposes, Keith Long was probably the club's first choice to come in and succeed Stephen O'Donnell. Look, the bureaucracy around that is that, you know, Keith Long's a Waterford FC employee, and, you know, Waterford obviously gave them dog short shrift in terms of, you know, speaking to their in terms of speaking to Keith Long. So that was probably a non-runner. But it's not to say that Keith Long won't be someone who they look at going forward, or somebody of that ilk that they look at going forward. So I don't think Noel King would be a long-term solution for obvious reasons. But for what we need right now, and today's game, I suppose, I think kind of proves that. You know, it was a much more, I suppose, pragmatic approach that was taken. He sort of started with an almost 4-5-1. You know, get the basics right kind of mentality. And it worked tonight. I mean, we got the result. And, you know, for what Dundalk need right now, if Noel King comes in now and does and gets us to finish ninth into a playoff, or better still, gets us to finish eighth and avoid relegation completely, he will have done a very, very good job from where he's taken it. He obviously took a bit of a back step today. I think Brian Gartland and Liam Burns were given a lot of the direction. We did speak to Noel King after the game, and he said that was kind of on purpose. He wants to kind of get a feel of it. You know, he's only in the door, I suppose, not even a week. So, look, it's an interesting appointment. It's not one any of us saw coming. But I think at the bottom line, as the Dundalk supporters, first and foremost, we've got little choice but to just get behind it now and hope Noel King can steer the ship and keep the Dundalk FC in the Premier Division.
If Frank Carlin, you know, well-known Dundalk supporter, he's raised a good point there. Was it a simple fact of, right, well, obviously Brian Ainscough knows Noel, and has he brought him in maybe to do the pro license, let the two boys coach? It is something you could be looking at. It could end up being a masterstroke. But I mean, I noticed just when you were talking about, you know, him coming in, there was an almost media frenzy. It's almost like a, you know, I know at the Dugget, I happen to be at the Dugget, I'm not usually down that far because we footballers are on the girls, but it almost seemed like almost a circus around the Dugget, which I haven't really seen in a long time. I mean,
no.
Probably not since the Kenny era, where you've seen that kind of media flashing lights. I mean, I suppose for them and for someone in your line of work, it's probably like a marquee moment, a marquee kind of, you know, because if it goes well, it's the most random masterstroke ever. And if it doesn't, well, you know, it kind of goes to Ainscough and the owners and, you know, it's Brian's appointment. But it's kind of for newspapers and for reporting, it's almost a win-win, but I mean, I never seen the likes of that. Yeah. What he brought to the dugout tonight, just before the game, the amount of press and photographers, I haven't seen that in a long time at Oriel Park.
Yeah, like, I think Noel King, in fairness, you know, for the last number of decades, has been, you know, a divisive figure within Irish footballing circles, so he's well known. You know, obviously his two-game spell as caretaker Ireland manager, he's perhaps best remembered for. But going back, you know, his management career goes way back to 1985. You know, he was the man who brought Derry City into the Premier Division initially when they joined the League of Ireland, and he had a very sort of, you know, public spat, I suppose, with Jim McLaughlin at the time as well. Yeah. I mean, his career goes back a long, long way. He got the Shamrock Rovers job, ended up getting the sack from them in 1991, went to Limerick, won a League Cup, you know, there succeeded none other than Sam Allardyce with Limerick, you know, was with Finn Harps as well, you know. It's 20 years, actually. I think it's bang on 20 years this month. I think he left Finn Harps six games into the 2004 season, citing, you know, travel arrangements as one of his reasons for departing that job. And that's bang on April 2004. That's 20 years since to now. That was his last, I suppose, senior men's League of Ireland job in club management. So he's been a long time out of this kind of management, but he has got a very, very long CV. I mean, he was involved with the FAI from 2000 with the women's team, then obviously with the under 21s, and was an FAI employee up until 2020. And I think he was the Shelbourne women's manager, won two Premier Division titles in the Women's National League. And was a director at Home Farm most recently as well. So his career, like, he's been pretty much in the game nonstop, you know, since the '70s, like from being a player to a coach, a manager, director, women's manager, whatever. Like he's been in the game. He hasn't been out of the game, I suppose, as such, in all that time. But it was a challenge for him, I suppose, and I'm sure it's one he relished. You know, he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who's gonna get fazed by criticism or anything like that. I'm not sure if he's on social media or anything. But obviously, he's probably better off, because I think, I mean, the reaction was quite unanimous, and I think some people are saying he done the impossible and brought all the Dundalk fans together in terms of, you know, agreeing on something for once. Like, like, I mean, look, the man deserves a chance, whether you agree with him being the right appointment or not. He does deserve a chance, but it's a challenge for him in the sense of, like, there's no grace period. You know, if we lose this game today, you know, the knives are already out. Luckily, he's managed to get the win, and a convincing win at that. You know, Dundalk were miles better than Bohemians today, and probably should have won by more than two goals, to be honest. But he didn't have a grace period. Like, other managers have come in, they've had a grace period. He hasn't had that, and he's not going to have that. He's basically been brought in as a firefighter by Brian Ainscough to try and, you know, clean this mess up, and a mess it is. But yeah, and this in relation to the media frenzy, I mean, like, I suppose the only thing that kind of comes close to it, I suppose we didn't get a chance to see it because of COVID and whatnot, but when Filippo Giovinioli came into the club, I think that would have been maybe a not too dissimilar appointment in terms of the social media commentary around it was quite unanimous, even before the guy had actually had a chance to actually coach the team. And he ended up doing a reasonable job in terms of, you know, getting us into the top three, winning the FAI Cup and getting to the Europa League group stages. So sometimes these madcap appointments can, there's a method in the madness sometimes, and maybe Brian Ainscough sees something that maybe the rest of the Dundalk support don't see, because he's obviously made the call. He seems to have gone rogue on it too. You know, the application process hadn't even finished by the time he appointed Noel King. So, and Noel obviously has gone public in confirmation that he didn't even apply for the job. So obviously Brian
is literally as rogue as they come, isn't it? It's one of those appointments. Yeah. It is, like, it's absolutely out of the just.
Oh, it's completely out of the blue. Yeah. It, like, there's left field, and then there's this. I think. I mean, it's up there with Filippo in terms of the left field nature of it. Like, but from a media perspective, it could be interesting. I mean, like, he is, like, in fairness, his press conference today was quite, you know, it was, he didn't give too much away in terms of his answers. You know, it was a short enough press conference in terms of, but obviously they won the game. My impressions are, if things start to go a bit haywire, the press conference might become a bit more, you know, juicy, for want of a better phrase, like, you know. But but it was a great start from today. I mean, 3 points, our first win of the season. I mean, like, at the end of the day, you know, we hadn't won in 11 matches prior to Noel King's first game today. So I suppose the only way was up, if you're actually going to look at it from a logical standpoint. So he's got the win today, and it was a convincing win. Now, I accept that, you know, you're always going to get a bit of a new manager bounce with these things, and you don't want to get too carried away. You know, it is just one game. But there was certainly enough in that performance today to suggest that we can get ourselves out of trouble. And I think that's, the Dog fans tonight will be a lot more confident maybe of survival than they were maybe 24 hours ago. So that's something we got to take.
Yeah, we spoke kind of straight out the gate on the podcast. Like, we weren't surprised. We were just, you know, loving and kind of having a love in on the fact that, you know, what somebody had mentioned very early on, urgency, tempo, pace, want, you know, just creating chances, wanting to the ball, first to the ball. It just seemed to be, everything just seemed to click really early doors. And I had mentioned the fans once or twice as well, and there was no fans getting anybody's back for a bad pass. Not that there was many. It just seemed to be a different kind of, I used the word earlier, a different aura in Oriel Park tonight. And
yeah,
it just seemed to be, the buzz was back, albeit, you know, we can definitely get a few more bums and seats on ticket sales. But, you know, they just obviously let them have this bit of freedom maybe, and lads just go out and play. We mentioned Daryl Hogan was vintage Daryl Hogan, Robbie Benson, John Mountney, Andy Boyle as well. Like, these lads just, you know, Daryl Hogan, in my opinion, is probably 100% played his best game since he came back to the club tonight.
Yeah, I agree.
Robbie 100%. Benson, bang back in form. Jimmy Gullen as well, it's something we'd mentioned. I just thought it was this kind of lads go out, you know, you're having a laugh here, you know, he's haven't got going at all. Go out and show what you can do. And like you said, like probably could have won by more. Bose, and I don't think Bose were poor. I just don't think we let him play. And no, I just think we're just overall the better team in every aspect of the park.
Yeah, I 100% concur with your Darragh Horgan assessment there. I thought he was the best player on the pitch tonight. Absolutely outstanding. The best we've seen him since he's come back to the club.
Yeah.
But not even from a, not even necessarily just from an attacking standpoint, from everything, getting stuck in, the aggression.
Yeah.
You know, everything he showed in his game today was just vintage Darragh Horgan, and he was superb. As was John Mountney, I thought. How John Mountney didn't score actually is actually, you know, is a mystery, to be honest. He was outstanding, playing in a right mid position today.
Yeah.
You know, where we haven't seen him there in a very long time, actually, in his career. Andy Boyle in the centre half, you know, was absolutely outstanding. I spoke to him after the game. Again, vintage Andy Boyle tonight, organising that back four, superb. Robbie Benson obviously got the official man in the match. Superb performance. Jamie Gullen, you know, didn't get a goal, but, you know, showed real improvements tonight. You know, maybe a bit of confidence from his goal.
And in fairness, he showed a bit last week as well. I thought even last week's game, there was a bit more running in him. And, you know, we actually did mention that, you know, maybe someone like Noel King might be able to just get that little bit of bounce off him and get him.
Yeah.
He was definitely at it tonight. You know, everything but a goal.
Well, he might suit, you know.
Yeah.
With the great respect, he might suit a Noel King sort of team in the sense of like the kind of pragmatism in terms of, you know, getting the ball up top. I mean, like, we did play a lot more. We played brilliantly tonight. We did. Yeah. But it was more back to basics tonight, I thought, for Dundalk. You know, he started with that 4-5-1, no mess and kind of, you know, old school kind of football, like, you know, and. Yeah. We came out of the blocks on fire tonight, and I haven't seen us do that in a very, 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 very long time. Scott High, I think, also was superb tonight in midfield, by the way. I thought Scott High had a very good game. Kind of slipped on, I know he scored a goal, but kind of slipped under the radar a little bit beyond that. But I thought he had a very good game tonight. George Shelby, we haven't even mentioned, you know, saving a penalty. Yeah. You know, a goalkeeper has come under a lot of criticism and has come back quite strong and has shown tremendous character, I think, in fairness to him. So, He's now, in fairness, it wasn't the best penalty in the world.
You have to save it, though, don't you?
Yeah. As Chris knows, you still have to save them. So, and I'm sure you save plenty, Chris, in your time. You know, but
that's about the fourth podcast in a row that fucker's been mentioned in the Cooley League playing goalkeeper. I tell you, people start signing this one up.
Don't. I'm retired now. I'm retired. I'm not going back.
There's a goalkeeping coach position, Chris.
There you go.
There's only one in Bells for me. Am I right, Gally? Niall, just you know, it's a comment I seen there. I think it was Mark Carlin had it earlier. Gally, you know, 14 sheet at home in a row.
Yeah,
like that's a hell of a turnaround from conceding two, which could have been five in that Galway match, and you know, conceding actually five then in the Sligo match. Like we look like at sixes and sevens in defence, but all of a sudden, is that kind of Andy Boyle coming back? Do you feel, Niall, just for a bit of calmness back there? We also seem to have much more settled back four. Only kind of got whether it's going to be Maioa or Johnson kind of in that one position. Otherwise, it's pretty settled back there now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Andy Boyle returning, Chris, is a big part of that. I mean, like, he's experienced. He's an experienced player. And, you know, I did mention that to him today. I mean, but the consecutive clean sheets. I mean, again, and I don't know if I said it on this podcast or maybe I said it somewhere else. I'm not quite sure, but I did say it somewhere that, like, certain areas of the pitch we have kind of shored up a wee bit. You know, I talk defensively, we've kind of shored things up. Maybe taking the Derry game aside, we shored up certain elements on the pitch. You know, certain parts of the field. It was just getting goals that we weren't doing, and I mean, we've kind of rectified that tonight. I mean, on another night we could have scored five or six tonight. Do you know what I mean, as well? So. I mean, tonight was our best performance by some distance this season, I'd say.
And you're looking at a player like Dara Keane as well, Niall. Like, Dara Keane, I know RB's gone off injured, and he was excellent last week as well. He's a real, like, he's a find, because I didn't really know a lot about him when the dog had signed him. But I knew, like, if you're signing someone from UCD, 9 times out of 10, you're signing a proper footballer, because they just seem to produce them there. But obviously he's been unlucky with injuries and, but even someone like, you know, like someone who's only played, you know, half the game, he come on half time a couple of weeks ago as well, changed the game for, well, not changed the game, but improved the game. But yeah, like, you know, these type of players, this is what we need now. We're going to get to see players that Stephen O'Donnell mightn't have had at his, we said this, kind of mentioned that without the risk of repeating ourselves, Stephen O'Donnell mightn't have had these players at his disposal, or maybe wasn't utilising one or two of them right. Yeah. But now I think with this kind of freedom and the way the boys are, you know, singing from the same hymn sheet, maybe, which they possibly weren't, you know, I think, you know, we could be, we might just have, well, there's no better time to hit form when you're absolutely been brutal for, you know, 3 months of the season. But, you know, it could be something. And I don't want to look back at this podcast next week and go, what were we absolutely talking about? But there's definitely something different tonight. I mean, there's, you know, I could only be different, really. But, you know, players like that coming to the fore, I think this is going to be, you know, if we can keep them all fit now and right, you know, we're going to have a proper go, I think. And that seems to be just that kind of mantra that they might have.
Yeah, I mean,
Gally, exactly. It could be something as well, Niall, just, and you can come in on this one as well, though. You know, when we lost Dara Keane, though, you know, Koen Oosterbrink probably come in there and had a real solid game tonight.
He did. Yeah.
Like, that's probably his most solid performance for us.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And he's a fellow who hasn't played a lot of football. You know what I mean? Again, a bit like Scott High in midfield, really went, slipped under the radar in many aspects. And had a really, really good game when he came on. Do you know what I mean? Done the simple things right. I think that's what the Dock were trying to... This is what we kind of what we've been lacking, I suppose, in the first 3 months of the season, is just, you know, or the first 11 games, is just doing the simple things correctly. And you know, we got that right today, even from a conversion standpoint of scoring goals. I mean, and keeping a clean sheet is a massive boost. To get those two things in one is a massive boost. I mean, but even looking at my notes here, I mean, like, one of the things I said to Stevie O'Donnell towards the end of his reign was that, like, one of the biggest massive concerns of that was that we weren't creating, not only were we losing games, but we weren't actually creating chances. We weren't looking like scoring goals. Yeah. I mean, my first half notes today, I've nearly spanned the whole page. I mean, we created lots of chances.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a long time, Chris. And it's sort of unprecedented nearly, because you're kind of, you know, at one stage you're nearly putting the throw-in down as a chance sometimes.
In your own half.
Yeah. It was that bleak. Do you know what I mean? So, I mean, they absolutely hit the ground running today. They really, I don't know what was happening in training today, this week, but whatever it was, they seem to have responded. Now, I appreciate that there typically is a new manager bounce with a lot of clubs, and hopefully this one lasts, you know, a prolonged period, because they really showed tonight that they, you know, that there is the base of a good team there, and there is some good footballers there who can play. And what was most pleasing tonight was the experienced heads. You know, the ones who you do expect more of really showed up tonight. You know, the Mountaineers, the Bensons, the Boyles, the Horgans, etc. You know, they really, really showed up tonight. And, you know, that's where the game was won and lost, I feel. You know, Horgan was superb. Benson, superb. John Mountaineer, brilliant. Andy Boyle, the back, superb. So this is where, you know, these boys again, like, and I'm sure they know themselves that they might have let themselves down in some respects in recent weeks, but they really came to the fore tonight and showed what they're really made of in terms of their leadership. So it was great all around. It was.
Yeah. Niall, just thinking, you know, 4 clean sheets in a row now at home. We've now got our first win, first goals as well in Oriel Park. Like, does this give, you know, Shelburne something different now to think about? We're probably not the easy target we once were.
Absolutely, yeah. And Shelburne have kind of been, I know, obviously they had an explosive start to the season, but they've been a little bit hit and miss, you know, in recent weeks. Now, did they finish that game? Did they win that game tonight? I didn't get the final score.
I think they won 1-0.
Yeah, so they finished up 1-0. So they got back to winning ways tonight. But, you know, they're not unbeatable. I mean, it might make for a great game next week, by the way, because Shelburne are quite pragmatic in their approach as well. So it might make for an excellent watch in terms of certainly from a neutral perspective. But then I'm saying that now, it'll probably be a 4-4 draw. I mean, it's certainly a much different game than it would have been, say, 2 weeks ago. I mean, it's a much different game now. I mean, like, Shelburne and Damien Duff and co. will be looking at that now and saying Dundalk are no longer, or definitely not the pushover maybe they were last week or 2 weeks ago, because Bohemians, you know, themselves have been on a bit of a run, and like Dundalk made light work of them tonight. I mean, that's as good as Dundalk performance as I've seen. Not that it would have been hard this season to top it, but even going back to last season, it was rare we kind of saw that urgency and that aggression in our play. And I think Shells will be, they'll certainly be a lot more worried than maybe they would have been, in previous weeks. So it's something we should look relish. I mean, like, and then we've got, obviously, the week after that, we've got Drogheda.
On the bank holiday Monday.
The bank holiday match at
1 o'clock kickoff, is it?
So, 1 o'clock. So that's got all the makings of a 6-pointer, and that could be, you know, the biggest Louth derby in a long time. And then you got Waterford after that on Friday. So these are teams that are kind of in our proximity then. Do you know what I mean? So this next couple of weeks now are going to be massive, I think, in terms of where we're actually looking. And the table could have a very, very, very different outlook for Dundalk in a positive way if we can get results in those games.
Gally, like it was something we built seasons on previously, was our home form as well. You know, like, did you feel like the atmosphere there tonight and the fact that we're keeping these clean sheets and now we got a win? Like, is this like something we can start building that kind of, I don't want to say fortress Oriel again just yet after one victory, but you know, it's definitely not an easy place to come and pick up points anymore.
No, and it shouldn't be either for anybody. It should, like you know, we've had too long sitting on this podcast, or Niall probably doing reports, or anybody sitting saying that, you know, people didn't care if they came to Oriel Park. You know, there was no kind of, oh no, we're going up to the dock this week, that's going to be treacherous. It's not. It wasn't, and it hasn't been, you know, all season. And
yeah,
you know, you got to get, you know, if you want to do anything in the league or you want to kind of move up the table, you got to get your home form right. Now, I you know, there is every chance, and it looks like every possibility that we could get that over next week. If nothing else, we're going to get a good run at it, you know, to get the home form up, get the points added to the board from the home games. But, you know, the atmosphere tonight, you know, obviously it has been better, but when you go in the last couple of weeks, you know, like, I just thought it was electric. I really did. Now, it can go, look, you know, I think it'd be even bigger Shelburne if we don't get the like Niall rightly mentioned, it could be an awful game. It just depends what kind of, how they bounce off each other, you know. But I think the atmosphere and the build-up would be fantastic, as it should be for every game, really. But, you know, you can't really blame lads either, what we've witnessed over the last couple of 10, 11 games. But, like I said, you know, the biggest thing for me was there was nobody moaning. There was nobody giving out. There was, you know, I'm only talking about where I was. I can't speak for everybody, but there was no kind of, you know, give it here, pass there, or, you know, oh, that's terrible, get back. This game, there was just seemed to be, let them play, let's get out, let's encourage them, and not that doesn't happen. But, you know, over the last couple of weeks and months, it's just been, you know, we've seen the numbers in this podcast, lads. We've been up, like, we've got stupid numbers for the shite that we talk, you know, because people want to vent, and people are in tonight, and it's positive, and it's great, but you're still venting, and you're still, you know, whatever, you know, what's happening, how it could change and stuff. But, you know, if you can get your home base, get that fortress over your tail, we can get it back to that, you know, get your fans on board, because then fans will travel, more fans will travel, the atmosphere will be better. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got Shell's draw to coming up, double weekend, you know, your 3 games in 10 days, and you've got to take advantage of it. I think the atmosphere, the crowd adds massively in Oriel Park. When the crowd's rocking, the shed's rocking, it adds massively to the crowd. Now, in fairness, I don't think the crowd got the boys rocking today. I think it was the other way around. I think the players, the way they started the game, like Niall said, from the first whistle, they were on it. They were absolutely on it. And the crowd backed them to the hilt once they knew that, to do a viewing and seeing. And it just came together nicely. And whether or not you go to Daly Mount to do the same, I don't know. But I don't think they'll fear them now. I don't think they'll fear now. If that's the way they're going to play from the onset, now teams know what they're going to be dealing with. Let's get at them. Let's, you know, play high up the field, get the ball back early, you know, press them. Like Flannery had said earlier on, no nonsense football at the back, press them high, get at them. You know, the crowd can only back you on that, and that's all we've been looking for, isn't it? We're not like, results are great, and you want the results as much as you can, but it was the performance that were killing us. And I think tonight, definitely tonight, we've been as good as we've been. Like Niall said, we've been as good as we've been probably in the last 15, 16 games in all competition, probably easily. We were fantastic tonight, and the crowd absolutely backed them 100%.
Yeah, you need to give the crowd a reason. I mean, that's absolutely. What I mean. I mean, like, and like the crowd of the Oriel has been flat this season, because like if supporters looking at a team that they perceive to be not trying or doing their best, it's very hard for the supporters to get behind that.
Yeah, there's only so much they can do. Yeah,
as you said, Gally, there. I mean, like right from the off, there they came out of the blocks and straight away the crowd. That's how you get the crowd on side, and that creates and like that, and that's when they become your 12th man. I mean, every manager will tell you that. Every coach will tell you that. Stevie O'Donnell was well aware of that. And unfortunately for Stephen, it just didn't work out in the end for us. But, like, that was a prime example tonight of how that can work. I mean, it was the other way around. It wasn't the players took it by the horns, I suppose, and the crowd followed. Because the crowd sensed that this could be on for us now after a couple of minutes. this could be on for us tonight. We could get a result here. And luckily for them, from the dog's perspective, it turned out that way. And, you know, we finally got that monkey off our back, and there's no telling where that can go now, because I think I did say it to Andy Doyle as well. I mean, like, the longer you go, like, I don't believe this is a team of bad players as such. I just think it's a case of when you go so long without a win, and that narrative keeps following you, that you haven't won a game, you're winless, you're bottom of the league, the confidence is naturally going to be at an all-time low. And it's very hard to pull yourself out of that. Getting that first win today now, getting that monkey off the back could be the catalyst now to maybe pulling ourselves out of danger, I suppose, and maintaining our Premier Division status, which will be the target now, I think, this season. But now it seems a much more realistic target now than it did 24 hours ago. So those are the positives, I guess.
I think a combination of Crispin and Bray and Jason Crawley not being at the match tonight has absolutely played into the dog's hands. Jason's missed his first game. Chris is in Bray. I tell you, lads.
I was in Bray for the 5-0 defeat.
Why don't both these go to Bray and we win 6 or 7-0 next week?
Hang on. I was in Bray for the 5-0 defeat to Sligo.
That's right. So swings and roundabouts. I think we'll go to a man in the match line. Just something we wanted to raise with you. Mark Carroll commented in, it's something we didn't really notice at the start, but you know, a change in the coaching structure, a change in, you know, maybe the lads' hands were tied on what they could do. But when you come to the substitutes, like, there's only two substitutes made tonight. You have Ryan O'Kane, Sam Durant on the bench, you know, Jamie Walker as well. Is that something maybe, like, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it, you know, don't try and change any, don't fix it. You know, it's there, the lads are doing well. Why make a sub for the sake of making sub? Because we hammered them here a couple of weeks ago, making five subs for no reason.
Yeah.
And like Chris said, it was just like for like substitutes all the time, and there was nothing really happening. And, you know, is that something that now, right, well, let's be honest here, and let's say, right, well, there's no need for you to go on the field. You know, let's just leave it the way it is and see how we go.
Yeah, I think there's definitely an element of that. I mean, like, it is simplistic, but it is that old expression, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, like, teams were working on the pitch, and I suppose the management team tonight were possibly concerned that they made the chop and change too much. Would it disrupt the whole, you know, flow of what was going on the pitch? Because every single player seemed to be working 10 out of 10 tonight, you know what I mean, in terms of work rate. And I suppose there was maybe a fear of maybe just disrupting that. I mean, I think it was only the enforced change in the with Oostenbrink coming on, and then I think Owen Kenny came on, you know, in the dying embers. Yes, I think they were the only changes. I'm open to correction, but I think they were the only changes that I can recount. So you left a lot of players on the bench there who didn't feature tonight. I mean, it's rare you'd see only two changes made, especially now in the days of, you know, five substitutes. It's even rarer. So I mean, I suppose that was kind of what it was. Let's just get a win here, guys. I mean, we just needed to get that win. By hook or crook. I don't think anyone, obviously we won the game 2-0 and it was convincing. But I don't think many people would have complained if we had won that game 1-0 tonight and it bounced off, you know, someone's arse and went in. I don't think anyone's complaining. And we were second best.
Special.
I don't think anybody's complaining there either, because we just needed to get those 3 points on the board. We needed to get that win. And to do it playing the way we did and with a clean sheet is just a bonus. So it's the monkey off our back. But I think that was probably the thinking behind the changes or lack thereof, I suppose, was probably just let's not disrupt the flow here. Because obviously Bowes were making a flurry of changes because they had to. What they were doing wasn't working, evidently. Yeah. So they had to. And I mean, we made them look very, very, very ordinary tonight.
Maybe Noel King didn't realize you can use five substitutes now.
The last time he coached, you couldn't make any substitutes.
I did.
You could pass it back to the goalkeeper last time he was a manager.
I didn't ask him that. No, I didn't. I was fearing the Tony O'Donoghue 2013 backlash.
Yeah. I must have watched that video 100 times over the last.
You know,
7 days.
Yeah. So I didn't. I didn't ask him that tonight. No, I might be poking the bear slightly there if I ask that one, lads.
Well, it's something that we definitely will be asking, you know, Niall, when we move on to. I was at the game tonight. We obviously had our. I keep mentioning, but we had our bells up tonight on the tens. The amount of people asking for pizza tonight. This is our thing. This is our goal. Nobody listens anymore for the crack. People want the pizza.
They're only here for pizza.
They need the Lucas. Yeah, I want the pizza. I want the pizza. So we'll get on to our man of the match. Niall, obviously, you're a guest of honor tonight on VIP. We'll start with yourself on your man of the match, and you can run us through any options or any definitive answers that you have.
Yeah, there was quite a few contenders for man of the match tonight. I mean, obviously, just to go from the off, George Shelvey, you know, saves a penalty, you know, at a crucial time of the game. It's only like, I think it's only an hour played at that stage. If Bowes scored there, it's 2-1. Who knows what happens, especially the way we've been this season. There's no telling how important that save was. I thought Zach Bradshaw done a solid job in left full. You know, Andy Boyle, Zach Johnson, centre back pairing, very, very good. You know, Scott High, under the radar, played really, really well. Got himself his first goal, his first league goal of his career, I believe. I think it's the first league goal of his career. Daryl Horgan, superb. You know, John Mountney, brilliant in a right mid position. Haven't seen him play there in a very long time, but was absolutely superb. A man, you know, a lad coming back from injury. Jamie Gullen, you know, disappointed. He'd be disappointed not to get a goal tonight, but his work rate was superb. But Robbie Benson, obviously got the official man to match at Oriel tonight. But for me, it has to be Daryl Horgan. I thought, like, this is as good as we've seen Daryl Horgan since he's come back to the club. And Daryl Horgan, by his own admission, I'm sure, you know, has kind of gone missing in recent weeks and hasn't played to the level we know he can play. Tonight was vintage Daryl Horgan, as you said earlier in the show, Gally. And it wasn't just from an attacking standpoint. It was everything. Defensively, getting back, aggression. Every aspect of his play tonight was superb. And I just thought he was the best player on the pitch tonight. So Daryl Horgan for me, man, the match, no questions. Yeah,
I think it's probably the first night in a long time that we've had so many. There isn't really anybody you could have not said. You know, it's one of those nights that, you know, I'm trying to struggle. I do remember one night that we had it's probably gone back to the second season. I would think that we had everybody in the running for a pizza at one stage.
But I'll tell you, like, if I quickly go through just the names I'm seeing here, right? Like, it's literally going from Shelvey with, you know, making a penalty save is pizza worthy of it by itself because there's 30 minutes left in the match.
Yeah.
Loads for Andy Boyle, loads for Mountney, for Robbie Benson. This is all the old school is in, and Daryl Horgan. Like, so, you know, like, a lot of the old lads really stepped up tonight. The old crew that we're used to in Oriel Park, and I think that's saying a lot for us there. Sorry, Gally, I cut you off.
No. Quick, fire ahead there if you want to go. Keep going, your man, the match if you want. All right,
who'd you pick?
I was going to go now. I'll go now if you want, and we can
go for it.
Have a look. There was one or two for me that would have been a little bit higher, but again, we're back to this. Well, you know, Archie Davis, I think, was excellent as well.
Yeah,
John Mooney was fantastic.
Yeah, Daryl Hogan, for John.
Like I said, Daryl Hogan, now you'd rightly said as well, outstanding. You know, Shelvey for the save. You know, Dara Keane went off injured, unfortunately. But that's the second time he's only played maybe half a game, and he's probably one of the best players on the pitch for those half a game. If we can get him right every week, he's going to be an outstanding footballer. But for me, just in, like, I'm a stupidly big fan of Robbie Benson, and when he's at it full flight, I think it's harsh on Daryl Horgan maybe, but just to make it awkward for Chris when he's picking his, you know, Robbie Benson in full flight, the goal is exquisite. I mean, Scott Hayes had a great, I don't think we've mentioned Scott Hayes in man of the match either.
No, I'm surprised he hasn't.
Dreamer of a goal, great game, yeah.
Robbie Benson is a Robbie Benson goal. He takes it, quick touch out from his feet, left peg. He was outstanding tonight. Himself, Daryl Horgan, 100% back to the best. Albeit more of probably leaning towards Daryl for back to the best. He hasn't been since he signed back in July. But, you know, I'm going with Robbie Benson tonight. I thought he was absolutely fantastic.
Go on, yeah, right. This is like 50-50 now, lads. It's what I'm seeing here. You ain't made this easy for me. A couple of nominations. Zach Johnson in there as well for a solid enough performance in defence. As I said, Mountney, Horgan, Mountney, Benson, kind of go through some of these. Benson, Horgan, Benson. Like, all right, I think we've got two players probably out in the limb, and that's the two that we've picked here as well. So I think we'll who do we go? How about we go for Helen for a change? Just, I'm gonna take one of the newer ones that was in there at the bottom. So well done.
You timed that perfectly.
So Well done. You're a winner of our 15-inch Tony's pizza. So that's on ourselves. So get in contact with Vinny and the lads down at Tony's Pizzeria, and you have a 15-inch pizza on us. That could have gone either way, lads. I'm not going to lie to you on those. But it's just interesting. You know, a lot of people kind of will mention one, but in their comment, mentioning how close it was to the other person. You know, Horgan, top class tonight. But, you know, Mountney was good. Or it's, you know, Robbie Benson was top class tonight with Horgan a close second or something like that. So there wasn't much in that. But, like, it's nice to see a couple of players kind of all up there, because it kind of shows probably more of – shows how well we played tonight for a change. rather than a landslide one way or the other.
And Mayonnaise there congratulating Helen on the pizza. And you can't have some pizza. You can't be half on the pizza without trying to scab pizza. All right, don't be big enough. Don't be bringing up the winners. You're not having any. All in all, positive night, lads. This is what we're looking for.
I'm preferring this without the surprises, Gally.
Yeah, it's nice. It's just, look, it's all around positivity. Poor captain, positive Steph isn't here, but yeah, it's just, this is what we've been after, isn't it? Last couple of weeks, and everybody's just not so manic now. Off, everybody can sleep now, and they're not high rage.
Just before we finish up, Niall, have you any indication yet of what the backroom staff could look like? Because I think that was the big question that we all had when Noel King was appointed: was who was he going to be bringing with him? Have you any more indication on that?
No, it doesn't seem, he did. It looks as though, you know, Liam Burns is going to stay on as first team coach by the looks of it at the moment. It's unclear at this present moment if he's going to bring in anybody additional to support him. Now, obviously, Brian Gartland and Burnsy were kind of man in the line quite a lot tonight. Mm-hmm. And he has confirmed, like, in his post-match presser that, you know, Liam Burns will be operating as first team coach. Whether he brings in somebody else beside him remains to be seen. But there doesn't seem to be any indication of that just yet. He was very coy and sort of, he didn't give too much away in his press conference earlier in the week or today about if there's going to be any change. I mean, they will obviously need a goalkeeping coach, obviously, and they will need a kit man, at least in the short term, with an Noel Walsh going through an operation too. So, I mean, those are other positions. But in terms of, you know, his coaching team, his immediate coaching team, there doesn't seem to be any imminent change from what we have at the moment. But then again, this time last week, we only just heard that Noel King was coming into the job. So who knows what tomorrow's press release will bring, if there is one, you know. So we can't really
24 hours or a long day in football, and even longer in Oriel, aren't they?
It certainly is. I've never actually seen anything like it in terms of, like, I think we had a 15-minute press conference with Brian Gartland last week in Sligo. And by the time we'd gotten to the car, we hadn't even left Sligo. And the whole press conference, all the quotes were out of date already. So
15 minutes later.
the biggest waste of a trip I think I've ever had in terms of from a reporting capacity, you know. So could have just done it from home and walked off the press release. But sure, look, we're all experts after the game, lads, you know.
That's it. Gally, just before we finish up as well, I just said that we will give a mention to the Three Little Birds School program. That, you know, Tom O'Connor, who's a friend of the podcast and off and on to defend goalkeepers, you know, that he is helping and is fronting this with the club. You know, I like, how many times have we said we've got to get back into schools and get young people involved? And, you know, I downloaded and actually looked through the PDF that's in it, and there's some really, really good things from, you know, from them going out into schools and doing some of the futsal skills to, you know, I'm sure Niall, you'll appreciate this, you know, young kids doing up match reports you know, having a bit of input for what our new mascot could look like. Yeah. Like, that's the sort of community engagement that's been sadly missed by this club for a long, long time. So I just think that's such a positive initiative from the club. And I think I've heard something like it's 15 schools have already signed up to be part of this program. So it shows not only is there a hunger from the schools to do these sort of things, but it seems to be there is a hunger from the club. So, you know, let's hope that if performance on the pitch turn around, it helps things like this then as well. because more and more of these young people then want to go up to Oriel Park to see this. You know, there's great little questionnaires about who's your favorite Dundalk player and design a crest for the summer camps and stuff like that. So there's literally something from everybody. You don't have to be a diehard fan. You could love any other aspects in around it, and there seems to be something there. So it seems like a very well and thought through idea as well. So just a quick little
and
mention.
It also gives the yeah, and Aoife Burns, I actually spoke to Aoife face to face tonight. You know, she organized the girls as well for Aoife Burns. Mm-hmm. Good chef and James did fantastic work. But that, you know, the three little boards, it also raises, you know, gives a green light to the Netflix documentary of the murder of Lily the Panda and what happened to Lily the Panda, if they can get a series going of where did that panda go, because now it's officially been retired. They're going to have to do a docu-series on it for Netflix.
But I'm sure it's at the back of the embassy somewhere.
Simon, just to answer Simon's question, yeah, I don't know if we lost our goalkeeping coach to Bowes, but he is at Bowes now. Yeah,
He is at Bowes. He's part of, and I think... I think Benno stepped into a new role, so
he's in the academy. I think, yeah, I heard that tonight. Yeah. He was talking, so yeah, he's in the academy. So yeah, but who cares about Bulls, Simon? We're both the dog lads. I think that's a wrap, is it?
I think that's it.
It's coming up to midnight.
Our sponsors, just to say thank you.
Yeah, we'll do our not loud villages. I like to slide Chris off every so often. Thank you to our sponsors. Obviously, I won't show my jersey tonight as I have gone old school with a dog jersey. Come on the badge. I see that side of that, folks. So thanks to Niall as well for coming on. Thanks to Steph, Donald, and Dean for not showing up. Chris, thanks for coming in twice.
Yeah, I started off in the car and I ended up
starting off in the car and now at home in the kitchen. Look at 300 odd at one stage fans. Thank you to Dean Burns. Thank you to Brian Garland. Thank you to Noel King. You know, this is what it's all about, lads. This is what we are. This is why we have an hour and 90-minute podcast on a Friday night after 2-0 win against Bulls. I think the only thing to really say, boys, is until, are we Shells next week? Is that what
Shells on Friday?
Yeah. So Shells next week, you know, I suppose we can go back to, you know, no King, no party. Come on to town.